Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
More Kirsty and lots more revelations coming up from that beautiful woman. First, I'll tell you about Blinds Galore. BlindsGalore.com. They're having a huge summer scorcher sale. It starts this week, up to 50% off of everything. One of their biggest sales of the year. So hurry, go to BlindsGalore.com. Sale ends soon. Save, by the way, save a ton of money. I use these guys. I have them in my house. I have the electronic blinds in places where people can't read. You can hook it up to your Alexa device and just say blinds up and blinds down. They have a new build a tool, lets you create and customize your window treatments, see exactly what they're going to look like before you buy. Whether you want more privacy or you want to cool down, especially during the summer, you go to BlindsGalore.com. You find what you need. Right, Dawson?
Blinds Galore makes it easy to get the designer blinds and shades you've always wanted without the designer price tag, especially during their huge summer scorcher event when everything is 50% off. Visit BlindsGalore.com today and let them know Adam sent you. That's BlindsGalore.com. The Adam Carolla Show presents Kirstie Alley's Birthday Cocktail Party for January 12th. Let's see who's invited. Howard Stern is here. Joe Frazier's going down. Rush Limbaugh steps up to the microphone. Hey, it's Melanie C. We all know her as Sporty Spice. And underneath all that hair, Rob Zombie. The human highlight film, Dominique Wilkins. Oliver Platt. And the richest man in the world, Jeff Bezos. That sounds like a party. Let's get back to the Adam Carolla Show.
So, when we left off, we were talking Love Boat. Recollections of you and Love Boat.
You asked a question, and the answer is we went to Acapulco on a ship.
You did?
Yep.
I had no idea.
I'm not so sure they do that with every episode, but we went to Acapulco, and then we also shot on the Queen Mary because my husband thought I was an idiot, which I sort of was. He wasn't we were just dating at the time, but he asked me about the Queen. He said, we're going to go on the Queen Mary. And I said, well, are we taking it out?
Right.
I didn't know it was in dry dock.
Yeah. We're going to fly the Spruce Goose over to the Queen Mary, and then we're going to take it out water skiing.
Take her out, Captain.
So you guys did go to Acapulco on a cruise.
We did.
And filmed on the cruise.
We did. That's why we both thought it would be fun, because it was a real deal.
Wow, this is going to blow Dr. Drew's mind. And
why does he think they're all on stage, soundstage?
You know, I think he does, but he's very cynical. You know, he's a clinician. He's always looking for that angle. Whereas I'm a lover and a dreamer. I want to believe, you know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, I became a big fan of his when he opened his mouth about hydroxychloroquine.
And oh, Dr. Drew?
Yeah. I was like, thank you.
Well, it's so crazy that everything has to become politicized. It's so insane that a doctor can't give his opinion on a medication, that somehow it was such a telling thing to me that drug became an issue. That's when it was super clear to me that everything is political now, because that drug, as Drew said to me many times, he's prescribed it to tens of thousands of patients. And he says there's more side effects from aspirin and Tylenol.
Exactly.
And so the notion, whether it's effective or not, that's to be debated. But the notion that it's dangerous, that's insane when millions of people are on it throughout the world and who have been on it for 65 years. That's what was confusing to me. It's one thing to argue and say it's not effective. Fine, make your argument, say it's not effective. To go on TV every night and explain how dangerous it is, I mean, I would call Drew, I'd watch CNN, and they'd say, like, you know, this is dangerous. They have a physician. I called him. they have a physician on there go, you know, there's cardiac conditions, and to take this drug and not be hooked up to an EKG machine, that's irresponsible. That's I would literally pause it and just call Dr. Drew and go, I'm playing you this TV clip so you can hear this person, this physician saying you can't take this harmless medication unless you're hooked up to a heart monitoring machine. And he would just laugh his ass off. And by the way, who are all these people that are on TV all the experts, both sides, explaining what's going to happen? It's insane, right?
It's insane to me also because there's thousands of doctors who actually, I guess they call themselves the frontline doctors, who are actually in the hospitals and in the practices, and they're giving them the hydroxychloroquine and the Z-Pak and what's the other one that you go, zinc, and they swear by it. So if it's not harmful. I mean, watch TV and see, you know, here's a drug and here's the 57 side effects that take the longest to tell you about the drug. There's this rolling and rolling and rolling. And then you have this drug that I think the only time it can be dangerous to your heart, from what I've heard from doctors I've talked to, is if you take it for long duration in large doses. So when these guys are saying take, you know, that it can help with COVID in the beginning, it's 200 milligrams. It's not large dose. It's not for a long extended period of time. And wouldn't you try it? I would try it.
Oh, for sure.
I'm gonna try the country in the next few days. And believe me, I'm stopping in a place where I know they will let me have that drug.
Where are you going?
I am driving. Here's my quest. I am driving around the country and I'm going to find a farm that I want.
And you're just going to do cocaine the entire time, or?
Oh my God, those were the days.
Are you? So So you would like some peace and some quiet and some nature?
No, it sounds like I would, but I have 15 lemurs. I have three cats. I've got birds. I've got lemurs. My animals are loud.
What's the definition of a lemur? I mean, what?
Did you watch Madagascar, the movie?
Probably.
Okay, striped tail.
Yeah, I got the general. I'm picturing it in my head. Why 15? Oh, why not?
Because I had lemurs for years and years, and they passed away of old age. And then I was in Florida, and I don't know, it was when there were newspapers. I was looking at the newspapers, and it said, baby lemurs. And I went, oh, my God. None of these lemurs are captured in Madagascar, by the way. They're all in captivity. But I said, I was going to go look at them. And we all know that's a lie. And my kids were like, right, you're just going to go look at it. We go, no, I'm just going to look at it. I want to see some baby lemurs. Boom, I come home with four baby lemurs, one male and three females that aren't related. And then they all had like.
Yeah, we're looking at them. Yeah. Like,
unbeknownst to me, lemurs regularly have twins. So all the women had twins. Jimmy is the stud. He's like impregnates them all. And so it just started. And then we gave Jimmy a vasectomy. And then 2 years ago, the vasectomy wore off and he had two more kids.
You can give a lemur vasectomy, huh?
I didn't want to, I didn't want to castrate him. I don't know. I have a.
Well, so you want to find some land. You want to have a farm. Where are we thinking?
I'm looking in different places. I'm looking in Kansas, Ohio, Maine, and Ocala.
How are you set for money?
I'm set for money well enough that I can buy a farm.
Were you good with your money throughout your career?
I never made money before I stopped doing cocaine, because it would have been all up my nose. But I've only invested in the worst kind. It's a good one in one way, because you're not snorting it away, but I've only invested in real estate. So I have a lot of places, but they aren't the good kind of real estate. You know, the smart guys invest in commercial real estate. So the real estate's always making the money. I invested in residential real estate around the country. And it's just like, yeah, you know, just saps you of all your money, basically.
I was reading that you gave Scientology $5 million. Is that true?
I probably donated $10 million to Scientology.
Over the course of your career?
$10 million to other things. I'm pretty generous. I've created literacy centers. I've sent kids to college, even kids that I don't even know. I've decorated houses for people that I don't really know, but have fallen on hard times. I like to be generous. It's one of my best pleasures in life is to do things for other people. So I think it's fair to say a third of the money I've ever made has been donated.
Wow.
And not just to Scientology, to many, many different kind of charitable organizations. Or my favorite way to do it, honestly, is to find, to do it firsthand. Like when there's a disaster, as an example, Katrina or Oklahoma City bombing or different things, like when there's catastrophes, I like to get a bunch of, what are they called? Giant trucks, but what are they called? What are the big semis?
Semis.
And I just like to fill them with everything that you could possibly imagine, even after tornadoes or after, and then I like to just drive in and give people things or have, open it up, like take whatever you want with people, especially when something's just happened, because it's so horrible when a disaster happens to the littlest things, like a pair of reading glasses or cigarettes. I was trying to do something with the Red Cross, but they didn't want me to have cartons of cigarettes. And I go, okay, the town was just blown away. What the fuck do you think? If people need cigarettes, they're nervous. Let's get them what they want, and haircuts and ice and different things like that. So I really love doing that kind of one-on-one thing.
How's your head on this whole COVID thing? Because a lot of people are taking it in a lot of different ways. Like I'm almost completely unaffected, but I know other people that are greatly affected mentally or emotionally.
For me, it just took me a while to get a grip on what, it's very hard to find out the truth about anything now, but it's very hard to find the truth about it. So I just thought, I'm a big proponent. You take full responsibility for your own body and your own self, and you make your own decisions, because if you don't make your own decisions, then if something goes wrong, whatever would go wrong, you're the person who's bitter and you're going to blame someone. So in the very beginning, I just tried to stay, safe enough that, I'm 69. So if I'm 69 and that puts me in the category of, ooh, could be bad, then I just sort of watched it sort of playing out. And then I realized how political it was. And I swung the other way for a while, like, fuck you, I'll do whatever the hell I want, especially outside. I have guys run by my house and they have masks on.
Yeah.
There's nobody near them.
I'm
like, what? This is so insane. Or people are playing tennis, two people playing tennis. Why in the hell would they have masks? So I think everybody's getting tired of it and rebelling, but I think for me personally, I'm trying to find my way, how I can take responsibility for myself and other people around me, but also not go berserk. And the way it's just to shut down an entire economy, didn't we all think it was going to be shut down for 2 weeks?
Yeah, well, that's what we're told.
Yeah. And now what is it going to be? Really? What is it going to be shut down on November 5th?
Whenever the election's over, all this stuff's going to go away. That's my thought.
I don't like that people are, I look at like Amazon, he's got thousands of employees working inside, and I don't think some big epidemic has taken hold in their place. So why can't all the other people just take the precautions and everything's a little bit of a risk. Every year people die of flus and pneumonias and things like that. So there's a little bit of a risk,
I'm like, open the stupid schools and let the kids go back to schools. It's like the teachers don't feel it's safe. Like, well, what about everyone who works at a Trader Joe's? They got to go in somewhere. They got to be indoors. They put a mask on. They go to work. Like, there's people working all over the place all the time. And why aren't teachers essential workers? But anyway.
The word essential is so arbitrary. That gets me what's essential is that a person can buy food for their family, can pay their mortgage, can pay their rent, can buy clothes, can get their kids school supplies. That's essential. So I don't know why this other shit, like Home Depot, is essential.
Yeah. Well, for me, it is, but Look, it's arbitrary. Look, if Home Depot's essential, then classrooms and schools are essential.
Right.
That's the way I look at it.
Everything, when you really look at it, every job is essential because every person has to support their family.
So I agree. I'm
so insane that we have to just take matters into our own hands.
That's what I've been doing. Have you kept, we were talking a lot about John Travolta has really suffered some tragedy. I mean, he lost his son. He lost his wife very recently. Have you reached out to him? Have you been in contact with him?
Oh, every day, you know, for the last two and a half years. And I was with her for the last month of her life and on and off for the last 2.5 years. You know, the thing about Kelly is the eternal optimist. And her plan, I know that a lot of people thought maybe she kept it secret because of paparazzi and things like that. Now, that probably would have been horrible if you're going in and out of MD Anderson and there's paparazzi tailing you. But her main deal was she thought she was going to lick it. You know, she thought that when she cured it, then she could, you know, go public and tell people all the things that she had done to cure it. So she never once mentioned, even to the day she died, that she was going to die or that she wasn't going to make it through it. So, and that's Kelly for you. Kelly's just that person that no matter what, she's the strongest. She really is the strongest woman I know. And you know, the good news, this is like, as people talk about blessings when there's bad things that happen, but the good news is she never had pain, never. And that is that's the biggest blessing I could have for my friend, that she never had pain. And I know that because I was with her till the end.
She passed away. It's only been about 3 or 4 weeks, right?
That's right.
It's not been long at all. And she was fighting, was it breast cancer? What cancer was it?
It started as breast cancer, yes.
And
you know, so many people fight breast cancer and they do get rid of breast cancer, and it would look good and then it would look bad and then it would look good and then it would look bad and then it would look good. You know, it's a real journey, and she fought her way through the whole thing. I mean, I learned a lot about stuff that I never knew about. I'm knocking on wood because I don't have cancer on either side of my family. And I just really knew very little about it or what someone really goes through doing all those treatments. And she did everything known to mankind to treat it.
And was it apparent? I mean, when did she know, or when did you know that she was going to lose this battle?
Honestly, in about probably the last 5 days of her life.
So it was like a 2-year battle, but not till the very end.
Pardon?
She fought this thing for 2 years, but didn't know until literally the last week.
I'm not so sure she would ever have admitted that she did. Like I said, she was fighting it to the end. You're asking me when I felt like this is it. But I didn't talk to her like this is it. Or you don't say to a person who's the eternal optimist, this is it. Do you know what I mean? I think that's a person's prerogative to decide to talk about the things they want to talk about when they're in that situation. And I think everybody probably handles it very differently when they've been diagnosed with something shocking like that. Oh my God.
I feel so bad for John. He lost his son a couple of years ago, I think, and now his wife.
I know. But don't you find that I have found that I've had different friends, and this is that have lost children, and I feel that it's sort of common that they then can end up with something also. I feel like that is a loss that I don't know how someone gets through that loss. I don't. I really don't. And I just feel like I've seen 2 or 3 of my friends who've lost kids go through that, and they've ended up getting something themselves. And I guess you're just, the grief is so heavy and the despair is so overwhelming that it then can take a physical toll on you.
Well, when they talk about, you know, stress kind of being a killer, you know, well, what could be more essentially stressful or sort of, well, let's just put it this way. Stress and or just kind of negativity in your life. I'm not going to get all, you know, burn some sage and clear the room on you, but it makes sense that if you have this negativity, this pain, anguish, stress, sort of you're wearing it around your neck, that that's going to wear you down. I mean, you can physically see people that have been stressed out for a year and you see them and they look like they've aged 10 years, right? Right. So when a mother losing a young son is probably the most, especially a mother. I mean, I have kids, and if something happened to them, I'd be devastated, but their mom would be destroyed, right? And so going through that experience, and I think the son, Jet, probably died 3 years ago or something.
No, much longer.
Longer?
Oh, no.
God, how long?
2009.
2009. Oh, it feels so, God, time's flying by. But she has to sort of internalize that and live with that and feel that. And that just cannot be a good thing.
And, you know, my grandmother lost a child when he was one. And then my mother was killed in a car wreck. And so my grandmother her mother outlived her. And my grandmother said to me that the worst pain she's ever felt in her life is to outlive a child.
How old were you when your mom was killed in the car wreck?
I was 30 because literally my mom got killed in a car wreck, and literally a week later I was hired for my first acting job in Star Trek. So it was a very, you know, I am forever indebted to Paramount and to Nicholas Meyer, the director, because I had never done anything. And I think I was supposed to come back in on a Monday morning to do my final reading. And on Friday night, my mother and father were killed, were both in a car accident. My mom died. My dad was severely injured. And so I flew to Wichita immediately. And they said, well, we need to see you Monday. And I told my agent to tell them that my mother has just been killed and I can't come there now. And my agent, being an agent, said, well, if I tell them that and you never worked, you're not going to get this job. I said, well, I understand that, but my mother just died and my dad is in the hospital. So anyway, they waited for me, and it almost makes me cry right now when I think about it. You know, they waited for me, and I flew back to LA. I think it was about a week later. And I went in the room and I read for them again. And Nick Meyer said, you've got the job, right on the spot. And I just collapsed because all these things had happened. You know, my dad was in intensive care, and it was just so horrible. And then on top of it, then one of the best things in my life happened, where it started my career. And I got to experience this business of, it's why I say I love show business. I mean, Paramount Studios and all these people waited for me a week, and I'd never done anything in my life, and they championed me. I am forever grateful to people that do things like that. It's just an unreal fairy tale story.
Yeah. Does it feel sort of surreal? Like, the older I get, the more I look back at these chapters in my life, it almost feels like it was a movie I was watching or something. Like, I'm not even sure if I even felt like I was completely there the whole time, or if somebody got me really high right now and said, you never did Loveline, you never did The Man Show, that was just something that's been cooking in your head, I'd go, really? It seems so real. Like, I look back, if you think about, like, just TV in the 90s, you know, and living in L.A. and that sort of vibe, it just all seems so different, right? I mean, it was utterly different than it is now.
I feel like it was, you know, the thing that I crave and I yearn for is, it felt like a lightness of being. It felt like a playful life. I feel like so blessed and lucky that I lived so many, you know, I've been acting for 40 years and I just feel so lucky that I've spent all that time. I mean, I could probably count like creepy things that happened on two fingers. Do you know? I don't know how I came unscathed through this.
Well, I have a thought. I have a very distinct thought about the creepy things on one hand or just two fingers of the one hand. Let me just, I'm going to give you something, but you feel free to tell me if you agree or not. Let me hit Dodge here. The summer, take advantage of Dodge Power Dollars. Everyone drive home and any 2020 Challenger, Charger, Durango, and save $10 per horsepower. So the Charger SRT Scat Packs, 485 horsepower, would save you $4,850. See how that works? Lineup includes the most powerful SUVs ever, and the 807 horsepower Dodge Challenger SRT Superstock, by the way. More than just power, first domestic brand to be ranked number one initial quality and appeal in the same year on JD Power. So get your local Dodge dealer, do it this summer, and take advantage of the Dodge Power Dollars while it lasts. Never been a better time to join the Brotherhood of Muscle, and you can do it with Dodge and save a whole bunch of money as well. Here's my thought, but do not let me put words in your mouth.
Okay.
I have had many bad things done to me throughout my life, but I never thought of myself as a victim. And so I never, if someone said to me, were you ever bullied? I'd go, no, I was never bullied. But I've had many people put their hands on me and do plenty of stuff to me. I just never felt like I was being bullied. You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. I've talked to many a beautiful woman who was like, nah, I never really had any issues with guys at the office. I never really had anybody. But believe me, if you're a beautiful woman and you're 25 and you work in Los Angeles, somebody's done something. It just didn't register to you as anything. You know what I mean? So if you're looking for it, you're going to find it. But if you're not, you won't. And you weren't looking for it.
True, but also something would register, but I've always felt, and maybe I'm just lucky. I know that you can be under a lot of pressure, but I felt like I could speak up. If I didn't like something, I would speak up. If I didn't like it in a big way, I would leave. No one ever tried to rape me. No one ever tried to tie me down. No one ever tried to do something really violent to me, you know? So I'm just saying, I remember once when I was going to art school, I was 14 and I went to stay with these friends of mine in Paseo, Kansas City. It's a really rough neighborhood. And the mom of one of the friends said, okay, here's money. You guys can go to the, you can go shopping at the plaza, but you have to take a cab back because it's going to be dark and it's very dangerous. And we're like, okay, good. So we went shopping. We spent all of our money, including the cab money. So we're going to walk back. Right. And we're walking along and these guys jump out and one holds a knife to my throat. It was so unreal to me that I started laughing because I was thinking, oh my God, your mom is right. This is very dangerous. And it was probably this horrible, nervous laugh, but he was so insane that he takes the knife off and he's like looking at me like I'm a freaking lunatic, you know? And maybe I was, I don't know what I was supposed to do. I guess I was supposed to, I don't know if he was going to kill me or what he was going to do. But for some reason, it taught me a really good lesson. It taught me, like, don't be in places like that.
Right.
And don't do stupid things like that. And take responsibility for something you're doing. But also, if somebody tried, I'm not saying no one ever tried anything on me. But I guess I was lucky because I go, no, or take your hands up. One of the first things I did, someone put their hand on my ass. And I was like, yeah, don't do that.
Well, what I'm saying is if you are, let's just say you're a young black man and you're looking for racism, you will find it. If you're not looking for racism, then you probably won't find it. And I feel it's the same way oftentimes with women. If you're looking for that, you're sure going to find it. If you're wired like you're wired, and many women I know, they go, nah, I don't really think that's happened. But it certainly has happened. If you were looking for it, you'd definitely be able to tell me 10 incidents where it happened, but you're not wired to find it.
It's an interpretation. I could tell you 10 incidents of when someone was out of line. And then it's what I do with them being out of line. You know, I'm not talking about violence and rapes and kidnapping something and someone. And I'm not talking about that right now. I'm talking about things that happen and can happen in everyday life where some guy thinks you liked him or he likes you and he sort of pushes you against the wall and kisses you, or some guy pats you on the ass, or some guy does this or that. I want to be able to differentiate. That's the only thing I'm saying. I could interpret it. I could have jumped into the Me Too thing and said things. And were the things correct? No. But I felt like the Me Too movement should have belonged to the people who've had actually horrifying things happen to them, or things where men have threatened them that they will fire them if they don't do sexual things with them. That's a different league to anything that's ever happened to me.
Yes.
You know? It's
yes.
just a different league. That's all I'm saying. So I felt like that belonged to those people when they said Me Too, that something had happened to them that was very traumatic to them.
Yeah, no, I agree. And we shouldn't all be, you know, your dad was, you know, got in a horrific car accident, was in intensive care, and I fell off my skateboard. I shouldn't be trying to equate my experience with his experience. You know what I'm saying? And I felt like right. that's part of what was going on.
But I think I've gotten that common sense from my dad. You know, my dad and mom were hit by a drunk driver, and my mom was killed and my dad was almost killed. I've never once heard my dad talk about the injustice of all the other, of all the drunk drivers and all the history of mankind. You know, he was able to differentiate and keep it at that was the consequence of that decision to drive drunk by that woman cost him his wife. So when I look at people though, that want to jump on the, it's like you're saying though, it's, you don't have to hate people if they hate you. You don't have to be the victim of something if you don't want to be. I don't want to be a victim of something. I want to be triumphant. Even if something bad happens to me, I want to turn it into something triumphant because it makes my life and everybody around me happier. It's simple.
I agree. The victim culture and the mentality is debilitating to the person you're turning into a victim, even if they are in fact a victim. Convincing them they're a victim is going to hobble them and destroy them. Kirstie Alley, I will give her tweet out at Kirstie Alley. Her podcast is coming up. Man, I just blinked my eyes and 2 hours went by.
You're fun to talk to.
Well, I think we'll do it again when you invite me on your podcast.
I definitely will, because we didn't really get into politics. And, you know, I'm better at talking about politics at about 10 o'clock in the morning.
All right. Well, we'll make that happen. Look, I can't believe we've missed each other all these years in Hollywood, but we'll make up for it now.
I look forward to meeting you. I really appreciate you letting me come on here because I had a lot of fun.
Thanks, Kirstie. I appreciate it. All right. Last but not least, I'll tell you about stamps.com, the new normal. Everyone's staying at home. But how about business? Well, luckily, there's stamps.com. Yeah, everyone's talking about the post office. You don't need the post office. You got stamps.com. I've used them here for over 10 years for merch, books, paperwork, everything we've sent out. Whether you're a small business sending invoices or you're an online seller and you're shipping products all over the place, work from your home. And if you want to mail stuff, it's easy. Stamps.com lets you buy and print U.S. postage, official U.S. postage, any letter, any package, 24/7. Do it from home. 5 cents off every first-class stamp and up to 62% off of USPS and UPS shipping rates as well. Got a special offer. 4-week trial, plus free postage and digital scale. No long-term commitment. Just go to stamps.com, click on the microphone, top of the homepage, and type in Adam. That's stamps.com. Enter Adam at the homepage and save all that money. All right. I'm Your Emotional Support Animal is available, the book and the audio book as well. Get them both because they're different. Tempe Improv in Tempe, Arizona, coming up September 18th and 19th. We're doing live pod there. And stand-up as well. You can go to adamcarolla.com and find out where I'm going to be, and check out our YouTube page as well. Good Sports is coming up next. Until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Kirstie Alley saying mahalo.
Stick around. Adam Carolla returns with Dave Damaschek for Good Sports right after this.
One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to some fresh, hot sports talk here on Good Sports. Dave Damaschek here, Adam Carolla over there. Ace, it's been too long. You've been traveling Sports America. How are we?
I'm well. I'm a little disappointed by Hard Knocks. You know, I look forward to Hard Knocks. You know, that is on my calendar. As a matter of fact, I was on the road literally the last three weekends, but I returned to have Hard Knocks ready for my viewing and my second favorite show, Million Dollar Listings, you know, where rich guys walk through these beautiful multi-million dollar estates on Sunset Plaza and and the realtors that represent them. But the Hard Knocks, which I'm in love with, and now I was going to get a double shot of my baby's love because I was getting the Rams and the Chargers 2-for-1 on my Hard Knocks. And the entire first episode was dedicated to COVID-19 sanitization, which is like, I feel like I've been treading water in a vat of Purell for the last 6 months of my life. And you know me, Sheck. There's nobody who hates this more than I do. I look at it as an insane, disgusting waste of time arguing over, you know, I had my daughter 5 weeks ago screaming at me when I was bringing a bag of In-N-Out into the house that I had to spray it down with alcohol and I needed to take my shoes off and wear my gloves. And now that's all in the rearview mirror and we're on to the next thing. But the point is I've had an assful of all, you know me, I don't like sanitization. I don't like sterilization. I don't wash my hands. So this whole thing, it's been worse on me than it's been on Howie Mandel, because just the discussion of washing your hands bothers me and the discussion of sanitization bothers me. But now I thought, finally an escape. Finally, I shall escape to the Hard Knocks training camp. Well, I'll be back in touch with my beloved football. And I won't have to think about temperatures or protocols or swabs or alcohol. And it was an entire episode chock-a-block filled with procedure and protocol.
It was. And, you know, I don't know. I don't know what the science is. I think the reason that you see any team doing this and all the discussion about this, it really is sort of like a roadmap for how any company that doesn't, I forget the science and forget the humanity of like, well, I'm just being empathetic for my workers. And that's why I'm doing this. Let's just describe that the reason that all these teams are doing this is because they know if somebody gets critically ill at their facility, there will be a lawsuit almost certainly.
Right.
So they have to go through all this. I mean, it's a bummer it was troubling. And you mentioned Howie Mandel. That's what I keep thinking when I was watching it. I just kept like that. I got creeped out the whole time. Like, oh my God, every turn you can't do anything. Like, oh, the separation of the lockers and like the constant testing and like all that stuff. It kind of is a harbinger for anybody who hasn't gone back into their, whatever their line of work is. If you're going back into an office, that's what's going to be like for everybody. And it's going to suck.
The other thing I learned is that McVay's girlfriend or fiance is a little bit of a ditz. I didn't know much about her, but she's a little ditzy. As I discovered poolside with a
hand. I couldn't even be bothered with her because I was too busy looking at the eye candy that is Sean McVay. I loved how he lost the shirt.
Yeah,
I like hey, fellas, hey, producers, I'm going to, I should jump in the pool, right? What? Why? No, don't wait. No, I'm in now. No, yeah. Getting out. No, can't unring that bell. Sorry, Hard Knocks producers. I'm in the pool. And by the way, I've been lifting the last 6 months. That was crazy, wasn't it?
Yeah. Made me kind of think of one of my yardsticks for getting older, which is when I was young, before I got in the pool, I would strip down to nothing but my trunks. You know, the idea was take stuff off before you got into the pool. Now I layer. Like, I'm, where's my swim shirt, my wide brim hat, my swim booties, where are my goggles? Like, I'm actually adding stuff on to go into the pool.
That's so true. You know what? I always bellyache about how society has treated me unfairly in terms of, like, they dropped the HIV on me right in what would have been my prime year. So I guess actually that gives me a good excuse for why I didn't womanize as much as I otherwise might have. But yes, those swim shirts really hit the mark right at the time that I needed them, right as my body started to get a little bit too loose. Yeah. I wear them because then nobody has to worry about putting suntan lotion on my back and no burn. This is perfect for me. But
it's interesting. There's a, you know, it's interesting because I was thinking about my dad. My dad missed World War II because he was too young, but he also missed Vietnam because he was too old. You know, and there's a timing in life that you can't deny. And there's one for getting laid, which I always say, you know, pre-AIDS, mid-coke, that's the time you want to get laid, right? Everyone's doing coke, getting laid, having unprotected sex in the bathroom, you know, Studio 54. You land right in the middle of, we're about the same age. I had a lot of that. Not only are you having sex with this person, you're having sex with every partner they've ever been with. It's always like, you've already ruined it before we even got to the entree, right? Like, I have to picture everyone you've had sex with, and then I have to picture having sex. Like, I have to blow the dude who was pounding you from before? Or, like, how does this physically work? It's already ruined the whole meal.
It's so true. I there were so many, like, our TV shows, the coming of age movies and TV shows, really, I can't imagine a kid who right now is 15 watching the movies that we grew up with. Like, the central characters, like, the big debate was like, should I wait until marriage? That's the safe choice. Like, there was a lot of that kind of talk that never happened in movies in the 70s or 60s, I don't think. And it obviously doesn't happen in movies now. But we happened to just step into the absolute worst time to be, you know, 15 or 25, in that age range of like 16 to 25 or whatever, to be available, single, and ready to roll. And everybody was like, Do you have a dental dam?
Do you have a dental dam?
Did anybody ever use those outside of sex ed classes? I remember, like, this is an easy thing to do. It's like, it looks like a vacated candy wrapper, like a caramel was just inside of there. You took it off and, like, here's your dental dam. Now you use that for oral. Now what is commonly known as
we call the clit doily. it's a wait a minute, clit coaster. That's what the dental dam could have taken off if it was called a clit coaster. But yes, I Dr. Drew used to explain, like, well, you should be using the dental dam. I'd like, nobody would ever endeavor to use that.
I would love to hear if anyone within the sound of our voices right now can give us an anecdote about actually using one of those. I think it's a fascinating question. I don't know. Did a human being ever actually use one of those things? I mean, could you imagine packing that? Like, I'm going out. I got a date tonight. Date number three. I think something special is going to happen here. Something's going to go down. And what's going to go down is me. And like packing away a dental dam. I can't imagine that.
And then also the actual sort of handling of it, you know, like, what is it like, you know, making a bed when you're like an Airbnb and you do that fluff move with the comforter where you kind of stand at the foot of the bed and fluff it up. Is there ancillary tools? Like, you know, when you go to the dentist's office and they put that paper bib on you, but they have that chain that goes around your neck with the two roach clips at the end. Like, would you use that? You know, like, you know, some guys have the nay stays for their sunglasses, you know, where they just pull them off and hang them around their chest, like Costner's probably done in four movies. Like, would you have that with your dental dam?
Yeah, I mean, I hope so.
And by Mike the way, is there anything that tells the ladies open for business more than having the dental dam medallion? You know, and it's just swinging from your chest.
Yeah, forget about it. You don't need to talk into anything. This does my talking. Now, what am I about, lady?
Look right here. Right, I'll take it a step further.
Turning this down?
I would start printing up custom dental dams that had your zodiac sign on there. Like it was a medallion / dental dam. All right.
Where were you in 1990?
I don't know.
This really could have revolutionized and made this business boom. Also, last thing on Hard Knocks is to me, I found it striking when Joey Bosa signed his multi-million dollar deal that he did it. And they showed him walking down the hallways, a mountain of a man, of course. But they showed him he was wearing his leather. He was wearing his Birkenstocks. And it occurred to me that that is the most significant event involving a man wearing leather sandals in at least 2,000 years. I mean, right? Yes. I mean, what man wears those to a significant event? I don't think anyone is the answer.
No, not since Roman times has a man worn leather that way and signed off. I mean, the last time the guy was using a quill and he was dipping it in ink and signing parchment. The last time someone wore those shoes to an important event. All right, let me hit Bet Online. No shortage of action coming up here with our partners, betonline.ag. MLB's in full swing. NBA playoffs, they start this week. UFC's going on. NASCAR, soccer. BetOnline has the best odds and lines for upcoming games and matches. Need more? BetOnline has simulated NFL, NBA, and UFC daily. Also, hundreds of live casino games, poker, tournament, best props in the business. Just hop online and go to betonline.ag, our exclusive partner at Podcast One. And don't forget, use the promo code PODCAST1 for your sign-up bonus today. Get in on all the action, especially NFL heating up or starting up soon. Let's get in on some of that. Go to BetOnline, that's betonline.ag, and use the promo code PODCAST1 for your sign-up bonus today.
Very nice, Ace. We're with you all week, so check us out tomorrow all the way through Friday on Good Sports. For now, for Adam Carolla, Dave Damashek, out. Good
Sports. Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow Ace on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. And pick up Adam's new book, I'm Your Emotional Support Animal. All the links are at adamcarolla.com.